Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network, Suboptimal Radio.
From the Men in Blazers studios in the crap part of Bedford and the crap part of Soho, it's a Men in Blazers podcast World Cup preview special presented by the most awarded tequila, Camarena Tequila.
This is a series of five podcasts designed to give you, dear listener, the major storylines for each team headed into this competition, from their star players to those poised to break out.
Yeah, from their World Cup histories to modern day realities.
More than anything, it's just a great excuse for us to do some accent work.
Yeah, but with the Italians failing to qualify, we're a little bereft in that category, Rog.
Oh, Maron! What do you mean we didn't qualify?
Oh, was that your Italian? If you miss groups A and B, which feature none other than England and the US of A, we'd encourage you to listen to yesterday's podcast. Today, though, we're talking groups C and D, Rogelio.
Two letters that, if the Latin alphabet was the Premier League, would qualify for the Champions Top Four, baby.
And two incredibly tasty groups in this competition. Collections of teams that feature the GOAT, El Tri, and a couple of teams who, no matter what happens on the field, are guaranteed to lift the Good Vibes Trophy.
Ah, the Good Vibes Trophy. Not many people know this, but that's exactly what they originally wanted to call the first Jules Rimet.
Okay, Rog, let's get stuck into Group C. And C is, of course, for Cavallero. And even though Slick Willy is not in the squad, we begin with his home nation, a land of holy men, Pope Francis, Jorge Luis Borges, and a gent who will likely be canonized before any of them, Diego Armando Maradona, winners of the 1978 and the 1986 tournaments, a nation of yerba mate, tango, and midnight steak dinners. We're talking, of course, about Argentina.
Oh, the combination of the caffeine from the mate and the meat sweats from that steak. Oh, it could make for an uncomfortable viewing experience.
All that asado is not the only reason they'll be sweating this tournament, Rog. Few teams will experience as much pressure to win this competition as La Albiceleste, because in one of the storylines of the tournament, and I'm not sure if you've heard, Rog, but Lionel Messi, he's actually never won a World Cup.
A fact that the media drumbeat has been about as subtle as we have with our plugs for the Men in Blazers. This cup's for you, Tor.
Tickets now available at meninblazers.com. And yes, Leo is chasing the one trophy that's eluded him despite having already played in four World Cups. But that's not the only reason to fancy this Argentina team. They come in on fire, NBA Jam style.
He's on fire!
Yeah, I was always more of a boom shakalaka guy myself, Rog. This group of gauchos arrives not having lost in 35 matches, too short of the record Italy set last year.
What in the pasta, Fazools?
Oh, there we go again. They didn't even qualify, and you've managed to do bad Italian accents twice already. Manager Lionel Scaloni's team come in after going 17 unbeaten in World Cup qualifying, not to mention 2021 Copa America glory over dread rival Brazil, Argentina's first major title for 28 years. And how did they follow that? Only with delivering glory over European champions Italy in the finalissima
International Football's Florida Cup. But let's keep it real here for one moment. Yes, they have that master of penalty kick shithousery, Aston Villa's Emi Martinez in goal, and Spurs' Coltero in the making, Cristian Romero anchoring defence that's conceded just twice in their last 14 games. But this, it's all about one person and one person only.
Yeah, a man who can inspire the collective inhale of an entire crowd, an entire nation every time he receives the ball, a diminutive footballing deity, the one true GOAT, not named Tony Hibbert. We're talking Leo Messi.
Oh, Davo, you know, the closest Southern Hemisphere Hibbo has come to football's holy grail, 2014, when Argentina lost 1-0 in the final to the Germans in Brazil. And despite his greatness and continued ability to make the sublime look routine, if Lionel Messi was filling out his 2008 Facebook relationship status with the Argentinian national team, he might choose "It's complicated." You see, Lionel moved from his homeland to Barcelona at the age of just 13. And since then, he's endured constant criticism that he left too early, that he doesn't, quote, feel the shirt the way others do. And home fans, furious, believing he only really tried for Barcelona, they derisively used to call him El Catalan. And the weight of that light blue and white stripes bore down on Lionel sometimes so heavily, even briefly retired from the national team after losing the Copa America final to Chile in penalties on the hallowed turf of, that's right, New Jersey's Giants Stadium.
Yes, Copa America, Centenario heartbreak. It is the worst kind of heartbreak, Rog.
But like Michael Jordan, Messi returned from a brief sabbatical with the Chicago White Sox, and everything that's followed, including a move to Paris Saint-Germain, has led him to this point, where even at age 35, he still puts together a weekly highlight reel that the professor from the M1 mixtape tour would be proud of, banging in 30-yard free kicks at their free throws, gliding through opposition defensive with the ball velcroed to his boots, and just threading passes to lanes as narrow as his bombisha, the straw from which he sips his mate.
I think two mate references is enough for this episode, Rog.
You know, that's Christian Pulisic's middle name. I crap you not. And the one thing we know for sure, that Argentina will be every Messi stan's second favourite squad, regardless of where they come from. And if he can win this, he may officially emerge from Diego Maradona's cherubic 5'5" shadow, which still blankets an entire nation.
Well, that brings us to our next team in Group C, the place where Diego cemented himself in the hearts, minds and souls of every Argentine, the site of the 1986 Hand of God against our England, Roger, Mexico.
Davo, I'm American now, so I've forgiven Diego, but fear not, I would never let one grudge drop without taking up another, and my current beef is with the US men's biggest footballing rival and the team that forced Christian to unleash the hottest t-shirt design of 2021.
The man in the mirror. This is a team in a Mexican standoff with both the past and present, Roger. Let's start with the past.
Davo, El Tri is coping with something, an agony, that really only high-level football brains can truly understand.
Oh, I'll try and follow along.
It's called, and again, this is science, it's called a curse. Like that of the Bambino on the Boston Red Sox or the curse of the Billy Goat in Chicago, Mexico is saddled with the quinto partido, meaning the fifth game. And you see, Mexico, they've made it to the knockout stage in every bloody tournament since 1994, which is incredible. Yet they've never reached that elusive fifth game during that stretch, out in the round of 16 every single bloody time.
Well, you see, Rog, sounds like Mexican football fans may actually buy into my theory about the fact we're all living in a simulation. But let's flip the switch to the present. What's the outlook for this tournament?
This is a Mexico team very much in transition under the tutelage of Tata Martino. MLS fans will remember from his tenure at Atlanta United, during which he led the Five Stripes to an MLS Cup in just their second year of existence.
But he's not had as much success on US soil with El Tri, has he?
Well, three losses in the last four against the United States, including two cup finals, says probably not. And who cares if the Nations League is entirely made up? And don't forget that Dos a Cero man in the mirror loss back in November. You can pound that record with the fact they really had to scrap their way through CONCACAF qualifying. And Tata may be wishing, oh, he was back at the Waffle House.
But they did finish ahead of the US men's national team, Rog, only behind CONCACAF Kings Canada. So it can't be all bad.
Look, don't get me wrong, Davo. This team, it does feature some certified ballers. Chief among them, Chucky Lozano, the Napoli attacker, who's constantly linked with Everton, constantly has a good sense not to come, and is having a season of seasons in that Italian port city you and I love so bloody much. And as good as he is in the sky blue in Napoli, oh, him slipping on that Verde Altri jersey, it's like Dee Brown bending over and squeezing on those Reebok pumps in a 1991 dunk contest. It becomes borderline unplayable. And if he heats up, Mexico fans could dare to dream. El quinto partido, no más.
A lot will depend on those fans, Rog. 60,000 of whom are expected to descend on the Middle East for the World Cup, Rog. Will the chance of fuera, tata out, which have been so ubiquitous this cycle, be drowned out by the himno nacional mexicano, the Mexican national anthem, and cry of war?
Oh, you mean the one written by poet Francisco González Bocanegra back in the 1850s?
Yep, that very one. If they can harness that spirit, I would not want to draw El Tri anywhere in the tournament. Now, to the team that conventional wisdom says will battle Mexico for second place in this group, a nation of pierogi, vodka, and the only salt mine in the world replete with working chandeliers. That's right, we're talking Poland.
A country that, like Mexico, is perpetually grappling with its World Cup past. There was a Polish waiter, I wrote about this in the Encyclopedia Blazetanica, who once explained to me that his nation's approach to the World Cup has defined rhythms. He told me, quote, "We Poles always have a rhythm to the three group stage games we play at every major tournament in which we're inevitably eliminated." They even have ritualistic names, David.
Match day one.
The opening game in which everything is possible.
Match day two.
The must-win game in which our team's survival is on the very line.
And match day three.
A dead rubber. The game of honour in which the result's irrelevant because the team's already eliminated.
But Roger, this is a country that has a very real chance to get out of the group stage for the first time since 1986.
Thanks to a gent who battles opposition defences and Father Time simultaneously.
Matty Cash.
Close, Devo. Now, I was thinking of 34-year-old Robert Lewandowski, a player who seems to have one ab for every single trip around the sun. And since moving to Barcelona over the summer, Louis has continued to pop and lock his way through defences, scored 18 goals in his first 19 games. But a question, it's really whether new manager Czesław Michniewicz, who took over earlier this year, whether his system, which seeds possession and sees a red and white try and hit on the counter, whether that will suit Louis.
Love Czesław. Systems suiting strikers. Where have I heard that before?
No idea, Devo. But Louis, he's got just 2 goals in 6 games under Michniewicz, so it must be said, at least aesthetically, he's a bit of the Polish Miguel Herrera's about him.
Okay, Rog, now to the final team in Group C, a country built on sand, oil money, and strategic military alliances. The only nation to share a land border with the hosts, a land vying to host the 2030 World Cup themselves. Yes, Rog, Saudi Arabia.
The Green Falcons. Yes, can you believe it? A team, Davo. I crap you not. They play in Newcastle United's third strip.
How come?
What are the odds of that? They're also not bad at football. They tore through Asian World Cup qualifying, finished ahead of Japan and Australia in their group. And what they lack in star power, they make up for in cohesion. The entire team comes from the Saudi domestic league. But will they be able to get out of a group that includes Messi, Louis and El Tri? Or will that slaloming 1994 Saeed Owairan 5th-minute goal against Belgium at the hallowed RFK Stadium and subsequent qualification for the round of 16 remain Saudi Arabia's World Cup apex? Only time will tell. You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. .. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke cold brew coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham fortress known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favourites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this, as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend, have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage.
Okay, Rog, time for our predictions for Group C. I'll go first. I've got to say, it's hard to see anyone but Argentina winning this group. And then, out of nowhere, dispelling what that waiter told you, I like Poland and Wojciech Szczęsny enjoying celebratory second place ciggies in the shower and making it to the knockout rounds for the first time since 1986.
Davo, I am one of those unapologetic Messi stans that I mentioned, so I'm going to double down on your Argentina prediction. However, I'm going to flip the script on your second place pick. Like a college football fan supporting their team first and conference second, I'm going full on CONCACAF Thunder. I see Tata making out the group stage and into a fourth game where, well, you know what happens after that.
To Group D we go. D for defenestrate, dictionary definition, not in the face, and Marcel Desailly. We're talking a country that has gifted us so much. Haute sounds like the word haute, cuisine, couture, the Statue of Liberty, and David Guetta. Who else could it be? La France.
The defending champions of this competition, a team really with an embarrassment of riches when it comes to world-class footballers, starting right up top with Gallic Abbey and Ilana, Kylian Mbappe and Karim Benzema, 23-year-old Mbappe, already playing in his second World Cup, a gent with so much footballing now, some precision. He can put opponents to the sword or destroy them with a pen before plunging the ball into their net. A staggering 39 goals, 26 assists in 46 games last season. He is one of football's most unquestionably dangerous attacking forces.
But at age 23, Kylian is no longer the smiling teen who tore up fields during the most successful French invasion of Russia since, well, ever.
Constantly dissatisfied with his situation at PSG, sending back contracts like the undercooked Poulet. He's developing a reputation, something of a malcontent, something of a divisive force in the locker room, to the extent that Paul Pogba's brother Matthias, and I trust Paul Pogba's brother Matthias, David, he's a good source. He claimed that Paul tried to curse Kylian via a witch doctor.
Next level insta-bants, Rog, which Dr. Bants. But look, the other pillar of the French team is a man who is living out Mbappe's narrative in reverse, a gent who was in figurative Siberia while his teammates were literally celebrating in Moscow. I'm talking about Karim Benzema.
A bloke coming off his Ballon d'Or and Champions League winning season with Real Madrid. But as you say, Davo, at 34 years old, Karim Abdul-Jabbar Benzema's international football career has featured more peaks and valleys than the Pyrenees. He only made his return for Les Bleus for the Euros last summer. He'd been banished up to then since 2015 for the alleged involvement in what's technically known as a sex tape blackmail situ involving a teammate.
A footballing tale as old as time.
Oh, Davo, on his day though, Karim the Dream is a bloke who can put his team and his nation on those broad shoulders that are normally reserved for suits paying homage to the late great Tupac Shakur. All eyes on me. How'd you say that in French?
Tous les yeux sur moi. Add Antoine Griezmann in the tiny little hole behind those two and sagacious veteran Hugo Lloris in goal. And how could they lose, Roger?
Well, Dave, think about this. It has been so bloody hard to defend a World Cup title. It's not been done since Brazil back in 1962. And you add the N'Golo Kante and Paul Pogba size, tiny and massive holes in that midfield, both out with injury. And the manager, whose name most sounds like a cocktail at a Brooklyn craft cocktail bar, Didier Deschamps, his journey to repeat will be no stroll along the scent.
No, I could murder a Didier Deschamps right now, Rod. Joining the French, hope it's got lots of Camarena in it. Joining the French in Group D, we have Denmark, the country who brought us hygge, the art of coziness, always rumoured to be one of the happiest countries in the world, though we can neither confirm nor deny that. They're red, they're white, they're Danish dynamite.
Dave, I don't know if you know about this about me, but I am not Danish.
Oh.
I have never been to Denmark. Mm-hmm. I'd love to go, but I do defy you not to root for this team. So many fans around the globe will have Denmark as their second favourite team simply because of the incredibly inspirational human story that has seen Christian Eriksen back on the pitch.
Yeah, in a major competition, the maestro of Middelfart, a longtime Men in Blazers favourite and a former guest on the show.
A gent who you may remember suffered just an agonising on-field cardiac arrest with the whole world watching during the Euros just a year and a half ago, was left non-responsive on the field. In his words, came on our show, told us, "I died on that field in front of thousands of terrified fans in his home nation of Copenhagen, millions more watching around the world at home. And after grinding his way back to full health, into professional football again, moves to Brentford and now Manchester United. That footballing creative sparrow comes to the World Cup as the soul of this team, both symbolically and tactically."
But for all of that poetry, the Danes certainly manufacture enough prose to give their midfield and defence plenty of bite. I'm talking about Tottenham Hotspur's Pierre-Emil Højbjerg, the man never met a 50-50 ball he didn't relish.
Is he a ginge? Is he not a ginge? I think we'll never know. Mostly because, well, frankly, we're too scared to ask him. But his ominous presence in that midfield, combined with veteran Kasper Schmeichel in goal, make this team a bloody tough out for any opponent. And they sail through qualifying like a boat on the Øresund, topping their group with just one defeat, a goal difference of plus 27. They stomp poor Moldova into the ground 8-0. Take that, Moldova, in what is now the worst loss in the colourful but frequently disappointing history of Moldovan football. Saving that one for another deep dive podcast. But that, coupled with last summer's semi-final run in the Euros, prove that they aren't afraid to go Hans Christian Andersen on anyone's ass.
Worth noting, Denmark are the only Scandinavian country who managed to qualify for this World Cup after the whole region put up the earliest and most vocal protests against human rights abuse in Qatar. Sweden and Norway failed to qualify, so they will be flying that Scando flag of moral sobriety solo in Qatar this month.
And their kits for this tournament, designed by Hummel as a form of subtle protest, muted badges, muted logos, and an all-black third kit, quote, "in the colour of mourning." Even for Denmark agnostics out there, may be worth watching just to see whether they've got any more explicit protests planned throughout.
In terms of explicit protests, Roger, our next team are right there with them, officially making this the group of the moral high ground. Australia, who put out an incredibly moving video last month speaking out against human rights abuse in Qatar.
Godspeed to the Socceroos, Davo. I can't do that an Australian accent, can you?
Godspeed to the Socceroos, Davo.
Oh, thank you. I love how you even added the Devo on the end. But one of the all-time great silly nicknames in the history of the sport. It's wonderful. And if you have not watched their protest video, Google it because it's gold standard.
Australia, the nation that gave us Aussie rules, Skippy the bush kangaroo, and both Kylie and Danny Minogue.
Oh, the Minogues, the Australian IUs, as I prefer to call them. Australia, they had one of the longest qualifying journeys of any team at this tournament, both in terms of actual distance, a truly Taylor Swiftian level of air miles logged, and in time. They played 20 qualifiers over 1,008 days just to get here. They qualified via penalties in the final of a good old intercontinental playoff.
So, not a really efficient qualifying performance then.
It was the best of times, Davo. It was the worst of times. They started off the campaign with swagger. They set a new FIFA record for most consecutive qualifying wins, 11 straight bangers to get things started, screamed, "Nothing can go wrong now!" And they looked to have qualification locked up, then took a wrong turn somewhere around the 30th parallel north, losing to Japan twice, Saudi Arabia, they dropped points to China and Oman, sent them down to third in their group, which meant they had to qualify via those Interconto playoffs where they faced Peru.
Oh, I love an Interconto playoff, Rog. About as close to a reenactment of Dante's Inferno as you can get without entering FIFA House. But they got it done in the end. Goalkeeper Andrew Redmayne coming off the bench in the final minute of extra time to see the Socceroos through the penalty shootout.
Oh, Andrew Redmayne, thick of beard, beloved across the internet, almost retired at 27 after being dropped to the bench and maligned by fans. He's got one of the funniest looking goal line penalty dances of all time, it has to be said. But to come on in the final minute and save that penalty, deliver his team to the World Cup, the joy on his face said it all.
Optimistically, Australia will still be energised from that incredible Interconto win over Peru. Pessimistically, I'm already tired just thinking about how much football the team have already played just to get into the tournament. And they are dealing with some injury concerns, none more concerning than Aiden Hrustic, the team's main star, one of the only Australian players who plays his club soccer in a big European league with Aelos Verona in Serie A, hasn't played since late October after an ankle injury.
Dave, if I learned anything in the 70s, it's that with Skippy the Bush Kangaroo on your side, everything is possible.
Yeah, but not selected for the squad in an upset.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths, and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, from Australia to Africa now and the jewel of the Maghreb, one of the great couscous capitals of the world, a country slightly larger than the American state of Georgia, but home to some of the best preserved Roman ruins in the world, the Eagles of Carthage. We're talking Tunisia.
Oh, I love a great couscous capital. A team who returned for their second straight World Cup, who are riding somewhat of a hot hand since current manager Halel Kadri took over. And how did he get his job, David?
Working hard and being kind?
Yeah, close. Tunisia's last manager got COVID during the African Cup of Nations in January, and Kadri took over. He was then an assistant, and he stepped into the job, and he only guided his side to a famous victory in the African Eagles Derby against Nigeria. After AFCON, Kadri was installed permanently, and he's lost just one of his eight games since, winning five along the way, drawing two, keeping seven clean sheets. And he's since said that if Tunisia do not make the knockout phase, he'll leave.
A tall task though, Rog, but this team will feel right at home in Qatar, where many of their players play their club football. They also feature a smattering of players in Europe's big five leagues, including Montpellier's Wahbi Khazri.
Premier League fans will remember him for smashing a volley home for Sunderland against Chelsea in a 3-2 Sam Allardyce-fueled masterpiece when a player studied at the slightly arthritic knee and gouty leg of that tactical Mensa. Big Sam, you know, for sure. I got the goods, Dave, and I'm going to bring you.
I'd bite your arm off for a slightly arthritic knee and a gouty leg, Rog. First, Sam Allardyce joke in the World Cup preview pod. Anyone who had about 30 minutes into podcast number two, come collect your prize for us, Rog. It's Group D, predictions time. I'll ride with the favourites. I'm going to go La France to win the group. And coming out as number two, I'm going upset. I actually really fancy Tunisia. Quarters in the last AFCON, semis in the one before that, plus so many players returning from their 2018 World Cup team. Eagles of Carthage, assemble!
Respect, Davo, and I agree with France. Mbappe, Benzema, etc., etc., etc. But coming second from this group, I've got to go with Denmark. Anyone who watched them in the Euros will know what a joy of a collective this team is. More than just football's equivalent of a chunky cardigan. And I love... No one loves a chunky cardigan more than me, but they can go shields up when needed. And when that football brain in the bottle, Christian Eriksen back, I like them making a stealth deep run.
Classic Rog, always on the hygge hype train. That is it for today's episode. Next episode, we're hitting groups E and F, where we're talking group of death-ish, as well as our neighbours to the north and Luka Modric. Until next time, Rog, I raise my Camarena tequila in your general direction, wafting that flavour of three limes up your snout.
Oh, Godspeed, Davo. Courage, courage, and mood. That's Danish for courage. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.